So we're holding here on the pasuk where Avraham Avinu is being mispalel, and he says maybe ulayasun chamish matzadikim chamisha hasashchis v'chamishas kolayir v'yom le ashchis v'mitzvashem abayim chamisha. So Devin Ezra here explains something about the mile of tefillah, and he says the ulayasun chamisha v'tam. He says why five? Five is not a round number. Like, why do you pick five? Ulay techsa sirs amisa. So the first thing is a tenth. V'tam atashkes b'chamisha, b'avur chamisha sheyasur sakol. And then he said maybe we'll be missing nine, and so on, all the way until he says, he kept going down. V'yesh oimrim lomel yifkes masora. Why didn't he go lower than ten? B'avur heyes shnayim b'chol ir k'chamisha amhoyu. Because that would be two per city. He said it's not true because Stom alone was the one that he was being misfollowed for. Now the Ebenezer adds a point over here. The afal pishach hamenaz al hetiku she'ain tefillah b'tzibur pas me'asara. Even though Chazal have taught us that tefillah b'tzibur is not less than 10, gam ze apasik yasi de'emun aseinu. Still, the pasuk over here, where the pasuk says that maybe having a little bit less would do it, it's a chizuk to do it with as many people as possible. In other words, true that real tefillah b'tzibur is not, but having what you can do is important also. And you see that in the pasuk that he was willing to find numbers under 10, more than one, that would work. Okay, let's see the next one's Avinu B'chaya. It says, Vayelech Hashem kasher kil davar Avram, v'Avram shov l'mekomo. Avram went back to his place. So really, he's bothered by a problem. What happened over here that Avram had to go back to his place? HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him, and then when he finished talking to him, so, you know, Avram is where he was. Where did he go to? So Rabbi Ben Chaya says, "Ve'efzefash odlim komo, ligvul hagasholso v'midas gufo." He went back to his natural, earthly, biological boundaries. Ki ba'od shashchina is etzloi, as long as the shchina was with him, hayakulo sichli mufshak mikol nyan achomer v'gasholso v'teilim. He was totally removed from his physical self, and his senses weren't working at all. Lo nisha lefnei Hashem bilti im tzura va'nefesh v'hu aseich lazach v'tar. He was totally, at the time that he was in communion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was completely, it's as if his body was disowned and he was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only part of him that functioned was that neshama, that seichel. Kimesh estal kashchina. As the Shechina left him, he fell back to his normal feelings and senses. So Rabbi Chaya is touching on one of the key elements of prophecy that the Rambam talks about, that when a person receives prophecy, he is usually... He loses totally the sense of self. It's something that there's a ratio, a proportion between what the body is capable of handling and what input of neshama. So when a neshama has an overwhelming experience, the body sort of recedes. We can something very very. Let's take something parallel to it, a phenomena that we're familiar with. But as a shadow of this phenomena, a person sometimes gets very excited about something, and he gets really, really, you know, engaged in something, and he loses sense of time and place. He's not hungry, he's not thirsty, he's not tired, he's really, really in high gear. And then what happens is, when it's over, you fall back, kind of, and the body tastes its revenge, and now you're very tired, you're very hungry, and so on. This is extraordinarily true in Nevuah, where your neshama, your pnimius is experiencing something totally in a different plane. and you'll leave your body behind. When you come back, you fall back to the body. But so Avram going back to his place over here means not a physical location as much as physicality. It was the place of the neshama is the guf. Okay, the next one is an akedah. The akedah it speaks about a fascinating topic. It's hard to believe that, you know, people had the same problems in those days that we have, but they did. And he gives an extraordinary insight into a perspective on a certain issue that comes up again and again. Let's see what it is. Ubemedrish, it says that the Anshi Sdom got very angry at Lot, and they told him that, you know, they're going to kill him and so on and so forth. So now the Akedah speaks about the problem of stone. What was the problem? Ubemedrish, hechad balogra v'yishvet shafait. The din sherotza v'shenim atabolabit. The laws that our forefathers had meant to implement, you've come to destroy. Rav Nachman Habibi says, Kain histan shistain b'neim, Omri, they said, Kolach senoyi shubolikani aboyle moistai sovamone. Anyone who comes here will be able to use him for ourselves and take his money. He then brings a pasuk in Yecheskel that speaks about the sin of stone, that they gave no charity, and they made doing bad to others into a way of life. And he brings all sorts of psukim that show that stone laws were really, really bad. He speaks about okay, so let's see. Mikana Tamotzi, the last paragraph. Mikana Tamotzi v'cholan shagiva. There was a parashin in Tanakh about Pelegesh Begiva, where the town attacked a woman and she was dead. They stressed her out and she was found dead, and all the Kol Yisrael attacked them. So he explains something about what was the problem. Ki im nagu kiminageim b'shnei hanyanim, ritzoni b'chlos regla omer shavu b'etan evala azayz kemohem. Hine loy hoylezem dova mize b'tsumas datit, lo chutalem lasas kimideim cholila. It says the people of Pelegesh Begiva, they did bad things that were somewhat reminiscent of stone. But they didn't do it as their official policy. It was a very crime-ridden area where a lot of those people did things that were wrong. So hine loyazam dova mize b'tsuma datis. It wasn't a religious or a social, what's the right word for it? I won't say word function, but it wasn't socially licensed. V'lohutam lasas kemidem cholila. It's not as if they licensed people and said, this is great behavior. It was a country that had good laws, but they weren't executed. And that's why we don't have a problem, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring upon them fire and so on. They themselves, they considered it to be a terrible thing. And by their laws, they should have been judged. And because they saw it and they didn't protest, because their own judges didn't do what they're supposed to do, other shvatim had to do it. So therefore, since they didn't they didn't stand up for justice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them. V'chein hu hadin b'chol ma shechotu hayechidim b'chol tzibur v'tzibur. Anybody who sins in any community, befroitz be'echod me'asurin shebetorah, if a community becomes lax in one issur, like Yaineser, like Vina Shal Akum, Meshadnes Yoitze, Shehelim Ein Ashoitim and Higim Mata Oisom, Kelim Mithorim and Adin, that sort of willfully ignoring it is a statement of permissibility. Shekvah Hafchu Bezeh Chata Yitzha Yochid Achata Tziv Mechlolam. When you willfully ignore something because you obviously don't consider it important enough, that becomes not the sin of this individual, but the sin of the tzibur. And he said, you know, many times I was upset about this. There used to be women prostitutes, Jewish, that people sort of, willfully closed their eyes to it, looked aside. V'lo Ori says, Shekva Ya'usa v'ktas kilos litnum chanina b'nehem, that some communities welcome them. Gam yeshem aspiklam pras makol. Some communities actually pay them. Ki omru, and what's their logic? Ki mishem atzil sasar vakim o sichlim. Mechetis es eish achomo, oi misakones hagoyois, mutiv, They said, listen, there are plenty of men around who don't behave the way they should, either single people or people that just follow taivas. So if they're going to look for Ashes Ish, they're going to be over a terrible Aveira. If they're going to live with the Goyim, with Goyas, so I guess the Goyim didn't like it and they would burn them. So they said, this is a tremendous improvement in the ruchnius. We're going to hire these single women who don't care, and they're very happy about it, and we'll pay them money. This way, if somebody wants to do an Aveira, he has somebody with a minimal Aveira. That was the logic. So Rakeda says, Ani dan tel ze pomim rabos of nehem ulefneg dolehem. I spoke with them many times, them and their leaders, we sparred them, I explained to them. Shachet ha-godl, asher yavolov ish v'beis Yisrael b'seisa, v'shelo l'dasa v'bezdin, if a tremendous avera that a member of Klai Yisrael does clandestinely and without the sort of tacit approval of the bezdin, chatas yochru, it's his own problem. V'hu shavavoyne yomos ade bezdin shalmalo umata v'chol Yisrael nekim. He will pay for his avera in Torah Kodesh Baruch Hu's bezdin. Had Bezdin punished the people who did wrong, that would have been enough. Because, you know, no matter how big a sinner is, it doesn't describe the public. Omnam, hachet hakotn, kishi askimo lav das harabim. But let's say you have a small avera, but it's publicly approved. Vadas nitna. But if it's publicly accepted and approved, then everyone's responsible. That was the problem with Stoim. Shehem ubatidin Hashem hiskimu shalachasegir oni ve'evyei. It was not the pshat that they were cruel or mean people. The pshat was the nation approved and said this is appropriate. That's why it's better that the people who are various let them suffer the consequence. This Zebedaitoi, and anyone who doesn't accept what I'm saying, and lechelik bebina v'nachla b'teres alokis, has no wisdom and no chelik in teres alokis. Very, very powerful lashon. This has come up many times in the following context. you want to do something for a tzibur. So first of all, I remember when I was young, there was a movement, I think it was YU actually, to open mikveh for single girls also to be tovel. The implication of that being, obviously, that they could be mezana. And the logic was that, if they don't go to mikveh, there's a chiyuv karis. If they do go to the mikveh, it's a pnuya, which is not a strong issur particular. So that was the logic. Let's do it. You run into this problem in curious situations where you want to try to do something to make things less usur. Now, it's a fine line between, so definitely in a curious situation, you're going to look away at certain things, and you're going to say, listen, I can't, you can't expect everything at once in one shot, and certainly, you want to, encourage people to move forward slowly. That's appropriate. But between that and publicly sanctioning something, approving something in a public forum, is wrong. So for a person to get up and to say, this and this is appropriate, and it's right, it means that everybody's a chote. So to say something that they're getting better, let's say to proclaim something as kosher that has problems but less problems than the other stuff. So you say people are eating treif, we'll make something that's almost kosher, but it'll save people from terribly serving, it'll be only issur rabbanan. So it's one thing if a person does it on his own, it's another thing if the community gets up and says, this is good. Then the community becomes responsible, becomes a much worse avera. And Anshei Sdom is not a place where many people are mean or cruel. It's a place where the leaders of society give their stamp of approval to what's going on. So this also means, one thing it affects on a public level is not to approve things that you shouldn't approve, that are wrong, even if that gives you the best or the of both worlds. Let's take an example of where this thing started. When the conservative movement started, let's take their changes at the minimal level. So the first thing that was noticeable is lack of a mechitza. So a person can make the following rationale. Listen, a mechitza, it's a minig. It's a minig that it's a takana, not a real rabbanan. It's a takana that they were metakana by Sheni, and from that we understand that it's appropriate takana to have men separate and women separate. Okay, so it's a nice thing, but I have a community that people don't want to do that, no way, and instead they're going to drift off the derech. So let's daven together, and we'll be over takanet, if not even rabbanan, and we'll get the best of everything. Well, the answer is, what they do individually to make a public statement about it is an akira of Torah, and it means that tzibur as a tzibur is a varyanim. So therefore, we're not really. And as we actually saw, it ended up not bringing back people to Yiddishkeit. It ended up losing everybody, because as long as as the tzibur Judaism is honest, and each yachid does wrong, that's fine, and that's a reason why, for instance, a tzibur should uphold a standard that a yachid doesn't. The shul should be makbid on a standard that even if the yachidim don't, but there's a statement being made when we do it as a tzibur versus each yachid. There's one other area that this helps us understand and give a certain rationale. From time immemorial, rabbanim have come out with kol kores against certain activities. When this has happened, there's a big kol kore, you shouldn't do it, and so on. Now, usually those cold queries are highly ineffective. Waste of paper, waste of ink, waste of everything else. And most of the time it's just the butt of a lot of jokes. And the question is, what's the point of it? Is there a point to have a cold query? We put this and this and this. Well, it's not as if anybody's listening to you. Occasionally you have items that are sort of up in the air. A certain product is questionable, cautious. You come out with a strong statement, that has a spot. But a group of people decide to make a shul al mechitza and you thunder and rail against it with a very, very strong kol kore, what's the point of it? And the answer is, there is a point in making, establishing the public position on it. This, we, the rabbanim of the community hold it's totally awesome. It means there's no tacit approval. Like the Gemara by Kamsa bar Kamsa, when he was humiliated by the Bala Suda, so he said, you know, he looked around and says, Shmamina mida lemichu, Shmamina nichale. They have Kol Hani Rabbanim were there, you have all these Rabbanim were there, and this ugly scene took place, and nobody got up and protested. I guess they all are in agreement. So there is some rationale to have a kol kore, because at least it shows that you didn't agree. Okay, let's take a look at the next piece. It's a piece of Mar Nevuchim. It says, "Ma'ir imolit shama." The Malachim told you, "Run quickly." Lo uchalas estavat bach shama. I can't do anything until you don't come to that city. I'm not allowed to destroy you with the city. So the Ram says, "Krabi anu shita she malach v'shu kolel hasichle magalgalim ve'yisodos kikulam oisim mitzvah." The word malach can include different strata of these ruchnistic beings because the kamnam is all doing a shliach of Hashem Baruch Hu. So galgalim and yisodos, according to Ram, galgalim is sort of the superstructure universe, the constant orbit, and Sichlim are what we call Malachim, and Yesodos are what you call the physical essence universe. They can all be called a Malach also. But the difference is the earth and the water and the snow are all doing Ratzon Hashem, but they don't have any consciousness. Aval Hagalgalim Basichlim Asigim Pulosei Ubocharim. So he says, Galgalim and Sichlim, they are aware of what they're doing, and they have a level of Bechira. It's not as if they have a constant Nisayin or whatever it is. It's different. You see in all of an awareness, it's like the river, if the river is going to sweep away a town, the river can't tell the town, listen, I've got instructions not to touch the town till you don't. The river does, and you know, like it, the Malach had instructions and was aware of it. He said, listen, I'm limited to what I can do. I have no discretionary power and I can't do anything till I don't take you away from here. So the Malachim have a level of Bechira that relates to what they do as we do. So we are Bechira and we can actually do bad. Malachim don't. So there are a handful of places or less in Chazal where it seems if a Malach made a mistake, did something wrong, and it was punished. I don't know, it doesn't deal with it. But by and large, their awareness means they do things sort of by choice, but they only have tov. The chomash eshtem who nimtza b'shleim is a poltam eshtem tov. Whatever they have good and so on. So I'm not quite clear as to why it's called Bechira, but and I'm not quite clear why it disregards a few places in Chazal that speak about the Bechira to do bad. But his gather is Malachim and Galgalim have awareness, they have an element of Bechira, they have no Yetzirah, and that's why things come out good from them. Let's see one more piece over here of Rabbeinu Bechaya. It says, "Va'echsof gam anoichi oischa mechatayli." The word anoichi versus ani is interesting. What does the word anoichi mean? "Bira kasef va'achsof gam anoichi oischa ki gam me'es asibol yoynes shu echad anista bo loy meniyas achet." He said, "Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even anoichi prevented me from doing avera." That's why he says, not that I, but the Anochi. Anochi is much deeper than Ani. Because you added the Kaf. Let's explain this a minute or two. In Aramaic, I once heard this from somebody who was a professor for Aramaic, the Kaf is a stronger version of the one without a Kaf. It's not only Ani and Anochi, it's in other other words as well. He called it the energetic kaf. It sort of gives it added emphasis. There's a Ksava Kabbalah, we spoke last week, this past Friday, about in the Trump. He says, Ani Hashem Lekech Asher Tzeisich Mor Kastim, and says, there is this Noich Hashem Lekech Asher Tzeisich Mor Tzayim. Why Ani, why Nochi? So Ksava Kabbalah says the following grammatical point. Whenever the subject of the sentence is the person, then it's ani. Whenever it's the thing being done, it's anochi. Anochi eliminates others, ani doesn't. Let's take the example. If I walk in and I see the floor being swept, and I say, who swept the floor? And you stand up and you say, I, that's anochi. And you would say, and he says, anochi always has a strong trap on it, a strong mafsid, because this is how you'd say it in English, you'd say, I swept the floor. So the emphasis is me, and it's eliminating anyone but you. So anochi also eliminates, because I asked who swept the floor, you, him, him, or him, and you say, I did, and that eliminates others. When I'm asking you, what are you doing? So you tell me, I'm sweeping the floor. So that eliminates other activities of yours, but it doesn't eliminate that other people are sweeping the floor. So I'm talking about you, and what are you doing? You're sweeping the floor. So anochi refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I started with the activity, and I ask who is the one who's doing it, and I say I. So Noach Hashem Lekech Asher Mitzrayim means you came out of Mitzrayim. Who do you think is the one that could take out Mitzrayim? Did take out Mitzrayim? I, and that stands at the top of the pyramid. But Noach Hashem Lekech Asher Mitzrayim means, listen, you owe a favor to the person who took out Hakad out of Urkastim. I'm the person who happened to be going to take out of Urkastim. So it's a very different emphasis in words, and therefore Anochi refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one and only. It's a very, very essential sense of I. V'ula mitam ze nistra ala v'milas mechatoili. V'bir lach ha'kosef yachoyte lakim choyte la'echar anista kol ha'meim boi meim v'shem yuchat v'kir boi. So he says, if someone, and that's why the Pasuk is saying that v'echsof gam anoichi es mechatoili is, because when you're talking about chet, you're talking about the very anoichi. The person is being choyte to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the shayresh ne'amud of right. And when a person is choyte, he's choyte to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay.